words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I pray that you give to each one of us today a fresh revelation as you so choose. Reveal to us, your Lord, your heart, that we may align our own hearts with yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The last 8 days of last year, from Christmas Eve, 24th December, to the 31st of December, there was a global call for prayer called Awaken the Dawn. And these last 8 days, this year, coincided with the Jewish feast of Hanukkah. As you may know, Hanukkah commemorates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Maccabean revolt against the Seleucid Empire. Hanukkah is observed for 8 nights and days, according to the Hebrew calendar, and it is also known as the Festival of Light and the Feast of Dedication. Now, this global call to prayer, called Awaken the Dawn, coincided with these 8 days. Now, what is the significance of the Awaken the Dawn? Well, we have the text read before us in Job, a passage not easy to understand to start with. That contains God's answer to the problem of evil. Let's read together again those verses on screen. Have you commanded the morning since the days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Now this is God's answer, part of God's answer to Job's struggle with the problem of suffering and evil. And the answer was not merely intellectual answer, but was a practical answer, a practical solution with view to removing evil in the world. And so our subject this morning is prayer revival. The outline for us is just 3 points. First, command the dawn. Secondly, shake off evil. And thirdly, release God's army. Command the dawn. In verse 12 we just read, have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place? Now, our first question is, what is the place of dawn? Well, we know that dawn ushers in a new day with new possibilities. If the morning begins with dawn, or if the dawn and the word morning is used interchangeably as in this verse, then pre-dawn is the womb of the day, a womb that gives new birth. Now, we all know in the Bible, a day is divided into 12 hours of the day and 12 hours of the night. And so the 12 hours of the day begins from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Of course, it means sunset and sunrise. But here, we are more technical, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so 5 p.m. would be the 11th hour. Now, the night is also divided into watches. Why? Because people do watch, take their time to watch for 3 hours at the watch. And it's 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So the fourth watch, the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., is the last watch. And that is called the pre-dawn, the last bit of the evening or the previous day. Now, you read Genesis 1, the creation story, and it is interesting to note that in the creation story, each day is punctuated with the phrase, and there was morning, no, there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, and so on. And some of us may wonder, why evening and not morning? our reckoning is morning and evening, but the Bible says evening and morning. And I think here gives a little clue, because the last bit of the previous day is the night, it's still called evening, though it's very, very much early dawn, pre-dawn, and there's birth of a new day. And so what this commanding the dawn is, we must take hold of the womb of the dawn, because and believe that God is bringing a new day for us, and not just not as business as usual when there are problems. The other thing about commanding the dawn is the dawn brings a new sight. Seeing God is in correct perspective in reality. The new sight or vision is spiritual revelation. Seeing from God's point of view is now possible, just like a veil removed from your eyes. A veil has been lifted from your eyes. I think if you got married, the veil over you, when it's lifted up, you can see clearly your husband for the first time. Well, Paul had used that in Romans 11 about the spiritual veil over Israel's eyes. And he said, lest you be wise in your own sight, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. In other words, he's saying, the question is Israel completely wiped out? And Paul's answer is no, because I'm an Israelite. While there's a remnant, there is a kind of general unbelief, a veil, because they don't recognize the Messiah, Jesus, when he came. But one day, this veil will be lifted up, and suddenly the whole Israel will be saved. That's what Paul is saying. So here is a veil. And so the dawn is like a time when the veil is lifted up. You may have a bad day the day before, but you are moving in a new day, not with the old baggage, but with a new day, new hope, with God creating this for you. And so the important thing for us is to command the dawn. Commanding the dawn means taking hold of the dawn. And we do this in prayer and taking authority over the new day. Christians, brothers and sisters, you have the authority to take control of the new day. Don't just let it come. And in commanding the dawn, we do three things. First, worshiping the Lord. And when you worship the Lord, it's like worshiping the Lord as recorded in Revelation 4:10. You remember the scene of worship in heaven? The 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne and sing, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Now, I'd like us to notice that when you come to really worship the Lord, we cast down our crowns before him. We come to worship the Lord without anything else, without our own agenda, with our own position. We remove everything wholeheartedly, and everything that we have been, whether it be our position or our success or even failure or even our mindset. And all of us come to pray with the objective, Lord, you please answer my prayer on this or that, maybe sickness, maybe financial and all that. But the real worship is that we put all this away. We don't come with an ulterior motive to pray or worship. Worship the Lord for who he is. And we put away everything. And this is our crown. If you have successes, you don't come. See, as a bishop, you don't come to worship the Lord. You say, I'm the bishop worshiping you. No. You come as a child of God. Put all that aside and worship the Lord Almighty. And without agenda, without timing. And that is the real worship. And when you really worship like this, we grow in intimacy and love with the Lord and with his own people, his own children. Because you love the Father, you love his children as well. And when we have problems within ourselves, among ourselves, well, the problem is it's not just me or you, but our relationship with the Father. And I think this is a new revelation for all of us. And we only grow in love and intimacy with the Lord and also in holiness. And only when you're worshiping the Lord in such a high way, without such purity, then we can begin to hear what the Lord is saying. I think most of us have some hearing problem, not just physically, but spiritually. And we can hear the Lord, we get excited, but sometimes we don't hear him always. And the reason is because we are too full of other things. And so when we really worship the Lord purely and in such a deep way, then we can begin to hear what the Lord wants to say. Because you see, God is our Father, and He's not deaf, and He loves us. He likes to speak with us. But if we are not able to listen, then of course He just keeps quiet, or if He speaks, we don't hear. So hearing God clearly and promptly is the next thing. Now, Jesus has given us an example in John chapter 5, verse 19. He said to the people, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." In other words, He is looking in contact, in direct online with God the Father. If God the Father wants to do something, then He will do. For example, talking with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Now, everybody's tired, and suddenly here's a woman He came, and the conversation we all know. And He comes and says, "Well, my will is to do the work of the Father, Father's will, and to accomplish the work." And He's always in line. Or maybe a woman taken in adultery or something. Now what do? You stone her? Or you're given a challenge and you do not know what to do? What's your wisdom from? It's not your cleverness, not your training, but the online direct revelation from God. Now that's how He is in contact with the Father. And today, more and more people are like that, in contact with God. That's why you're beginning to see He can give a word of knowledge, healing, a problem that you never realized. Now that is God. So you see what God the Father is wanting to do, and you just log in and do. Now, and thirdly, commanding dawn means not just worshiping the Lord, hearing God and obeying Him promptly, but taking authority over the spiritual forces. The spiritual forces, not only over individuals, but over nations and world events in this new day and season. So we pray and declare the word of God. You see, for example, in Psalm 149, verses 6 to 9, I'll just read this verses for you. The psalmist says, "Let the high praises of God be in their throats and the two-edged swords in their mouth, in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings and chains with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. Execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all of His godly ones. Praise the Lord." Now here the psalmist is not just being revengeful, but he's declaring God wants to judge evil, and he says, yes, this is it. And so when you pray, we not just pray with our own ideas, we pray the word of God. And we not only pray the word of God, but we declare the word of God. Say aloud and declare it to the Spirit and decree His word, that this word is going to be true. And here, I think in our days today, in a chaotic world, we know that there are Christians all over the world who are decreeing this way. And that's why you see change governments and all that. Things that politically we say not right, but we don't think of it, but it's happening. And so maybe I just share a little bit on my personal experience of awakening the dawn. Last 8 days of last year, we also got into this because there was a call. And so we decided to find as much time within the period last watch, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And I said to myself, well, if this is of the Lord, I won't need to put an alarm clock. And the Lord will have to wake me up at the unearthly hour. And true enough, first day, the Lord woke me at 2:57, so in time for 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. And another day, 3:10, and so on. And I know that a lot of other people who did the same thing had also other experiences. And as you really worship the Lord with no agenda, no time limit, because you cannot, actually, 3 hours is a long time, okay? And you don't need to use all the 3 hours. If you finish worshiping, you just finish. And hear the Lord, you just do. And you want you to decree, you just decree. And imagine you doing this, and the Lord gives a lot of different revelation which you never think about. So that's experience of awakening the dawn. And so we come to the next point about shaking off evil. Job chapter 38, verse 13 says, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it. Now, I'd like you to know the word skirts in this translation. It is like taking control of the points of control, like a sheet, four people, each one taking a corner and then shake. Shake, and as you take and shake in unison, everything on the sheet will be fallen off. Now, that is like taking off the skirts of the earth. And then you shake off the evil, and evil will be shaken out. Why? Because evil has got no roots, and God so decreed that it should be shaken out, it will be shaken out. And so we decree, we shake and we decree God's decree. And then verse 14 says, it is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. Know the two words, clay and seal. Now, the clay is easily and faithfully imprinted by the seal or the mold. And when the clay is hardened or fried in the oven, the print comes out clear. It's like a print in a garment, indelible, permanent. And so the seal speaks of authority and permanence. So God's decree in the word, God's decree of judgment or plan is authoritative, is permanent, unchangeable. And so the impact of God's decree on the wicked is in verse 15. From the wicked, their light is withheld, and uplifted arm is broken. The fight against evil continues to be told graphically in his creation, in the narratives in Job 38, 39, 40. And the point is, God is in charge, whatever evil has been happening in the world, and he's in control of evil in the world. And so we come to our last point, and that is release God's army. Release God's army. You remember when Joshua was leading Israelites into the promised land. They had crossed already the River Jordan, and they're ready, and they're circumcised and waiting. And the day before, the evening before, they surrounded Jericho. You remember Joshua was looking ready, and suddenly a soldier, a man in uniform maybe, with his sword drawn, appeared in front of him. Now, if you're a commander of your army, are going to fight, now what would your reaction be? And you remember Joshua said, are you for us or against us? You know, if you are for us, then join me. If you are against us, then I'll fight you. That's kind of implication. And so when he asked, are you for us or against us? The answer is no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does the Lord say to his servant? So here we can see the Lord's army actually has got the human element, the human army here. Here was led by Joshua. But there's also the other part, the angelic or heavenly hosts. That's why the Lord is very often called the Lord of hosts. In Joshua 14, both the human and angelic parts of the army are actually under divine commander. And that's why Joshua surrendered his sword. Now we begin to see the invisible. In that battle against Jericho, it's not just surrounding once a day, then 7 days or 7 days and shout, and then the walls just got down. Now it is angelic being also at work against the spiritual forces that held that city. And so here we begin to see there are also many examples of release of Lord's army. For example, in Exodus 12:41, when Moses led the Israelites out, there we read, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went from the land of Egypt. Now, can you imagine? Here we have so many people, maybe a million or more, who have been slaves for 430 years, and suddenly they become an army when released, overnight. How did that happen? Here, this King James Version has got the word armies, but other versions have divisions and other translations, but all the terms are still military terms. And then we begin to see that in the Messianic Psalm, in Psalm 110, verse 3, it says, "Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in the holy garments from the womb of the morning, and the dew of your youth will be yours." In other words, here's a word for us to reclaim our future generations, our youth. Most of many families, we have problems with the teenagers because they're going through a very difficult phase, and the enemy also is up behind that. So instead of just praying and pleading with the Lord, reclaim your youth, command them, decree. And you notice that womb of the morning, it's interesting to see in that verse, the womb of the morning, and the willing volunteers. All this will give a big picture that Jesus is King, Jesus reigns. Now, these are some, and it can go on many other references on the army of God in the Bible. But today we see there are many examples of Lord's army all over the world. In fact, as we were doing this, taking part in this global day of awakening the dawn prayer, we are conscious that thousands, tens of thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands in China are also doing the same thing. They're also praying. However, a lot of mainline churches are not aware of what's going on. But this is the Lord's doing, because He's raising up people, He's releasing His people, releasing His army, unknown, untaught, but they just know the Lord and they went. Think of Korea. Korea had also a new breed of totally different committed Christians. And right now, I think there's whole prayer for the reunification. Now, there's a political hot potato. We won't go into it, but there's a side, the spiritual side of the whole thing. And then in the Middle East, where a lot of problems arise, now we have a lot of, well, literally, I'm hearing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people praying together. Most unexpected. And all over the world, other places, other continents, other countries as well. Now, I want to conclude here and to say that since Awaken the Dawn Global Prayer Call last year, last 8 days of last year, the spiritual climate of many nations this year have changed. The political and other aspects of nations are still changing. And if you want to sit with me and yarn for hours, you can talk about that, but we have no time to share the details here. The challenge for us is to continue the global united prayer during the early morning prayer of the fourth watch. And so here I'd like to encourage intercessors of the cathedral and those of you who have been praying, and you may be intercessor or you may not be an intercessor, but now you felt called to pray, pray. And I'll suggest that early morning hour is good. If the Lord wants you to wake up, you wake up. And you happen to wake up at 3 a.m., don't just say, "Ayya, why cannot sleep? Insomnia, you see the doctor." No. If the Lord is waking up, then pray, and something else will happen. Confirmation candidates get into prayer as well. And I have suggested 3 targets for our prayer. One target is that the veil of spiritual blindness over Israel and the nations will be removed, and this is being done. And then there will be huge harvests that come in. Now, you can send in all the people to the harvest, but if the veil is not removed, they still cannot come. And so I think these are very important. This is an important part of our prayer. And you begin to see that, well, you may have a problem of people, of revival, people coming in. But that's a good problem. The second target is that evil and wicked be broken. You see, we have seen so much of evil, and to the extent that Christians can acquire to it, you know, I see that you can't help it, or bought by money. Money is matter, and we talk money only, talk about nothing else. and we get into trouble. But no, pray and target the evil and wicked be broken. And thirdly, God's army be released. Call and command your children to return and be recruited for the Lord's army in end times. We are beginning to see many Singaporeans going out in nations, just praying for people, and non-Christians on the streets, they're coming to the Lord. Why? Because of word of knowledge or healing or something that happens. Not what you plan for, not your gifting, but as the Lord gives. And this is happening today. Now, keep your eyes open and begin to see and not wonder. So at confirmation, we pray that you will increase in the Holy Spirit more and more. So be ready to receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, maybe a word. Don't worry about signs or manifestations. One can receive a powerful word without any sense of manifestation. And while others can get a lot of manifestations, they're falling and all that, and yet nothing happens after that. So just be open, turn your heart to the Lord to receive what He has for you. Every gift to you is different from others. God is a God of miracles. God is a God of biodiversity. Don't copycat. Just receive the word that God is for you. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you're doing new things these days. And I just pray, Lord, that we may no longer go on life with baggages, with problems, with evil surrounding us. But Lord, we pray that you teach us to love you, to worship you as you deserve. And as we worship you, may you reveal your heart to us, and that we may align our hearts with yours. And as we hear you, may we obey promptly, and may you do miracles that we cannot do. And Lord, we ask you also that you will release your people. Yes, you may feel that you are nobody. You've never been an intercessor. You've never done anything. But if the Lord calls you, just come. And so, Father, I pray for such people today that they will come and know they are recruited in your army. And so make us all new in you. Unite us, our hearts. Unite not just outwardly, but in spirit and in truth. Give us, Father, a compassion for the lost and love for one another. Give us, Father, a new love for you, a new tenacity, a new intimacy, and help us to rejoice in you. Lord, restore to us, to your church, your people, everything that enemy has stolen, that we may rejoice again, and cathedral, and our church will never be the same again. We pray all this for your own glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.